while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Friends, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Well, if you are on Facebook, or if someone's already told you, I had a pretty eventful apple blossom. Because yesterday, at the sports breakfast, I got to fulfill a Winchester bucket list item. I got to be the minister, the one who gives the invocation at the sports breakfast, which is something that I've wanted to do ever since I moved to Winchester and went to my first sports breakfast about 5-6 years ago. I'm thankful to Mike Stanfield, who is the president-elect of Apple Blossom, a wonderful member here at Bethel, for making that happen. And it really was a joy. I got to meet the wrestling coach at Virginia Tech, who has won a couple ACC championships, a man by the name of Kevin Dressler. I got to meet a 12-year NBA veteran by the name of Larry Robinson, who won a world championship with Akeem Olajuwon and the Houston Rockets, and played for the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards, or they were called the Bullets at the time. I got to meet Jeff Hammond, who is a commentator, a NASCAR commentator on Fox Sports. And as we were talking, I got to find out that we didn't grow up too far from each other. He grew up in Charlotte and North Carolina, not far. And he actually has a cabin in Boone, North Carolina, where I grew up. And then, man, I keep forgetting the fourth guy that was there. He's a baseball player. That's right, yeah. Cal Ripken Jr., man, I mean, I get to sit right there no more than 5 feet away from Mr. 2632 himself. I actually wore number 8 when I was a tall shortstop back in my day, and remember Cal from his time with the Charlotte Orioles. Any of you remember? You probably don't even remember that, but I remember when he was playing for the Charlotte Orioles back in the 70s. And what a treat to be able to do that. Well, all of those, if you've ever been to the sports breakfast, they all give talks. They all share a little bit about their life, and I took a little bit from each of them that I thought was pretty impactful. Dresser, Coach Dresser at Virginia Tech, he talked about his wrestlers, and he said for them to be his best wrestlers, what they had is they had laser focus. Like, they might not have had the best skill, but they put a laser focus on something to achieve a goal, to achieve what they wanted to achieve. They had to have that focus, that laser focus that he talked about to be able to achieve those goals. He said he saw wrestlers that weren't as talented achieve their goals because they had that kind of focus. Larry Robinson, the NBA star, talked about dealing with setbacks and how he never gave up, how he remained faithful in the midst of his setbacks. He went to two very small schools in college, Eastern Oklahoma and Centenary down in Louisiana. And he was undrafted. Even though he'd had a nice career, he was undrafted. And what that means is that, you know, unlike the NFL draft, which we are going through right now, where there's a lot of undrafted players who end up making teams, there's so many more spots. In the NBA, that's not the case. If you're undrafted, it's very rare that you will make it. Well, he had a 12-year professional career. And he said that even though he wasn't drafted and he had a lot of setbacks in his early part of his career, He was able to make the Washington Bullets at the time in the early 90s, and he got to start his very first game in the NBA. Now, they were playing the Chicago Bulls, and he had to guard Michael Jordan. So it was also a case of beware of what you wish for. But still, he handled those setbacks with faith in himself, and he was able to achieve that dream. Jeff Hammond talked about humility. He talked about an experience that he had with a NASCAR driver, that he didn't get along with him, and he ended up working for him later on, where he had to kind of humble himself to work with somebody who he didn't like at all, and they ended up winning championships together. And what he said about that was that teamwork, being a part of something greater than ourselves, was what gave him the most joy and the most wonderful experiences of his life. See, being a part of something greater than who he is, he shared that. And then Cal, I call him Cal now. He calls me, "Who are you?" But that's okay. When Cal spoke yesterday, what he talked about was he talked about being stubborn in a good way. He said there's three kinds of stubborn. There's good stubborn, there's bad stubborn, and then he told a bunch of stories about his father as an example of stupid stubborn. And those were really funny. But what he meant by good stubborn is hold to your convictions. Hold to your convictions. And as is of all the things that Cal Ripken did in his life, in his great career, over 3,000 hits, over 400 home runs, so many games played at shortstop and third base, all-star appearances, all of those things, probably the best thing he is known for is being consistent, showing up every day, doing that thing that we're called to do. He said, and be that way with your convictions. That's what I talk about that. Whatever your convictions are, and remain true to them and be consistent to them and live into those each and every day. Was I heard all of these wonderful speeches on Saturday, it was helpful as I considered what I was going to be sharing with all of you today. I think that this advice of becoming laser-focused on something to meet a goal, of recognizing that sometimes when you have challenges or setbacks, to hold faithful to that, to recognize that we are a part of a team, that we give ourselves over to something greater than just our own individual needs, for something greater than ourselves, and of remaining steadfast, of remaining consistent in our convictions that God is going to be who God is going to be. In February, at the congregational meeting, we shared with you that this year we needed to put a focus, a laser-like focus, if you will, on the operational budget of our church. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but over the past 3 years, our congregation has brought in income of over $2 million. I don't know if you know that or not, but over the last 3 years, it's been the highest 3 years in the history of Bethel. A significant portion of that has gone towards paying off the mortgage. It has gone towards wonderful causes, ministry causes like our global missions, towards world hunger, towards youth programs, programming, special youth programming, toward helping meet needs for those who are part of our congregation, towards our Bethel Park and towards our Memorial Garden. Some wonderful, amazing ministries, worthy and vital ministries. Now, while it's gone to support those things, what has not happened is as full support of our ongoing operational ministries. And we are at a point right now where we, as the team of Bethel, need laser-like focus. We, as the community of faith, need to focus, especially this month in May, as we head into the summer, on our operational budget. Now, why do we do that? We do that because our operational budget pays for a lot of the ministries that we happen here, our ongoing things, our staff, and our giving to the Senate, and to the wonderful ministries that we help to support, the things that are not exciting, but they are vital to the life of our community of faith. We, as the people of God, here at Bethel need each other now. And specifically, we need you. We need you to consider how you can help support specifically our ongoing operational ministries of Bethel. Now, I know there's a lot of other things that we can support here, and they're wonderful and they're great and they're beautiful, but we need laser-like focus on operations right now. We need some significant gifts if you have the wherewithal to do that, but we also need people who can just give more. One of the things that I'm heartened by is that if you're somebody who made an estimate of giving for our congregation, I don't know if you know this or not, but we're meeting those estimates. When you've prayerfully considered what you can give to support the ministry of Bethel, we are meeting that at over 100 or right at 100%. Everybody that's done that. We could use more people who will take that step with us and will move in that direction with us. You know, when we think about all the wonderful ministries that are a part of Bethel, we think about how we can be a team together, how we can not give up in the midst of challenges, and how we can be consistent in our promise and trust of what God is doing and how God is doing it. Then I believe what we will find is that we will be all that God has called us to be in this place. We will be the team that God would have us be. Some would say that right now we are at a crossroads as a congregation, and I would agree. I think that crossroads, like what we saw in our Acts story for Paul, is that he had this vision. He thought he was going to go one way and he ended up going another. And he listened to God in the midst of that. And I think we too listen in the midst of our crossroad moment right now to what God is calling us to do. Each and every one of us listen to what God is inviting us to do as the people of God so that we can move forward and thrive instead of just merely survive. We as the people of God are called to that. And I love that word crossroads, because what it does remind us of is the cross. You see, the cross is at the heart of our journey together, of our journey individually, and our journey as a team. At the heart of the cross is the promise that God has come near. The cross is about the God who meets us in our struggles, who meets us in the midst of our pains, meets us in the midst of our uncertainties and doubt, and it's the God who says, I can turn that around, and I believe God will turn that around here. In fact, I know it. I've seen it. I've witnessed it in you and in us before. We are at a crossroads, but we are at a place where we have been before, where we've witnessed God change our hearts and our minds and lead us into God's preferred future for Bethel. And so it's within that confidence. It's within that stubborn, consistent conviction that God will see us through, that we can do something kind of crazy. We can keep on singing. We can keep on having joy. We can keep on giving thanks in the midst of all that life brings, because we know that our God is with us. That our God, that our conviction is that God does not abandon us to our struggles, that in fact God brings us through them. And through you, and through your teammates here at Bethel, God will see us through too. And because I believe that, I trust the words of God. Jesus, who says, in the midst of uncertainty and pain, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. For we can trust in the God who has come near, who is the cross in the midst of our crossroads, who is the God behind us, the God in front of us, the God beside us, and the God within us. And in midst of that promise of the God who has come near, how can we keep from singing? In the midst of the troubled times, whenever we win, in the midst of the joys and the sorrows and the pains and the hurts, in the midst of the beautiful days and the victories, and in the midst of the failures in the moments of shame. In the midst of it all, we can dare to sing because that is our conviction, and let us be stubborn in that conviction that our God will not abandon us, and that indeed our God will lead us into the promised land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.